Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. May God be with you.
Come on, Jesus. I'm sold out. Today's message, I have entitled it, A Message to the Husbands. A message to who? The husbands. Today, there are very few men here, but I'm going to talk to you. And the woman, you just listen and encourage me, okay? And today's message is a good message to get after church. And chances are your husband won't play it. Or Johnny Bravo, or whoever is in your life. So just get it and just play it loud in the house. And just keep quiet and continue with your business. Hallelujah. All right, come with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll take it from verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll take it from verse 1. Are we all there? Yes, ma'am.
1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather,
just pause there. As we are taking the journey, we are going to verse 7, okay? So we're just getting some background. I said this in August in our Women's Day, Women's Conference. If you are married to someone who's not born again, or who doesn't know the Lord, hello? You understand what I'm saying? Or you are involved in a relationship. You're not married yet, but you're involved in a relationship with someone who's born again. Who's not born again, I mean to say. By the way, I have to advise you as your pastor, the best relationship to have is with another Christian. Am I in church? Okay. Why, your amens is like I'm lost. I went to the wrong church. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So, many years ago, I noticed the problems that you can have in marriage. Even though you are married to a believer or even a pastor, you still have issues. Now imagine how much your issues will be multiplied if you are not married to a believer. Your issues will be times 100 problems. Ask me, I'm a pastor. There are many problems that people tell me that they won't tell you. So I know many problems. And I try to advise you that if you are going to be in a relationship, let it be with another Christian. But Pastor, in our church, there are no brothers. You worry about growing in the Lord and let God worry about bringing you your husband. No, these amens are suspicious. They're very soft. Don't worry about too many. Just worry about getting closer to Jesus. When your time comes, even if your husband is in China, God will bring him from China to Nelmapias, to Healing Fire Ministries, to find you. I'm telling you. So, but the only time I allow a relationship that you haven't married yet, okay? When I say allow, I use that word very, very reservedly. The only time, let me rather say it this way. The only time I'm okay with the relationship of people, like one is born again, the other is not born again, is if there's already children. I don't want any child to grow up without a mother and a father in the house. I don't like that situation. So we have to make it work somehow. If there's already children. Because if that thing doesn't work, that child will suffer, will have to live with a single parent. Or with a step-parent. And a step-parent is not the same as a biological parent. There are some very good step-parents out there, but there are few. It's a lotto. Are you understanding? So the ideal situation is, tell your heart, fall in love only with Christian. Only with Christian. Okay, repeat after me, because you don't want to say amen. Say, heart, only fall in love with another Christian in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, but I off-ramped. So the Bible tells us where there's a situation where a woman is a believer and the husband is an unbeliever. Or the situation that I just described. You're in a relationship, you're not married yet, you have children, but you are a believer and your partner is not a believer. The Bible shows us how the partner can be converted to become a believer. And the Bible says, it is by your behavior. By your behavior. I must say this and I must emphasize it. When you get closer to God, you become a serious Christian. Not a churchgoer, but you love God at all times. You read your Bible. You pray. You're a woman of faith. And your husband sees your love for God, your genuine love for God. And how deep it is. And how, because of your relationship with God, there is peace in the home. The children are growing up well. There's no troubles. The man has peace and enjoying life because he realizes that his wife is a believer. The Bible says that then that husband will become converted. It is not by fighting. It's not by forcing him to come to church. It's not by forcing him to pray. He watches your behavior and your relationship with God. Is the one thing that will convince him to come to the Lord. Not even scriptures. You can quote scriptures to him. It won't move him. He will only be moved by watching you and your connection with God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? One of the many reasons why many women are crying who are involved with partners who don't know God is that you yourself, you're not close to God. You become angry. You say all kinds of words that you shouldn't say. And you do all kinds of things that you don't do. And even your worshiping and loving of God is a part-time job. It's not a full-time job. Please keep encouraging me. Yeah? Hallelujah. So, I want to put a challenge to all the ladies that are here in this church. Go deeper with Jesus. Go deeper. Read that Bible. Eat that Bible. Chew that Bible. Become a prayer warrior. Pray. Wake up in the middle of the night. Elko tantalan lote. And I'm talking about deep, deep tongues. Yeah. Even the men will see that. Hey, yeah, no, here, get tongues. And you will begin to see that sooner or later he will follow you. You start seeing when there's a little problem. Say, at work, can you just pray for me? You start hearing things like that. Then you'll notice that he's noticing that you have a relationship with God. That before he travels, he'll say, my wife, can we just pray for the journey? An unbeliever, he will start talking like that. Then you will know that your relationship with God is beginning to impact your partner. Lord, help us to finish the message today. Let's go. Let's go.
Verse 4. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner... So
Peter is giving us some great advice here. Mom Ruti showed me a video yesterday. It's a joke. But this joke perhaps can fit in nicely here. Where a guy was saying, okay, you'll just remind me because he was talking in Sotho. The guy was saying that he understands why all Jesus' disciples were men and none of them were women. You'll remind me if I forget something. And the guy said, the problem is that when Jesus will be traveling, because Jesus was working with time, he only had 33 years, he didn't have time to waste. And when Jesus will be saying, let's go to this and this area, and the woman said, wait, Jesus, we just need to put on ponds and foundation and... Hey! And when Jesus says, we have to go there, they'll say, no, we don't have the right clothes for the event that we are. Hey. So Peter is saying, don't put all your effort on outside beauty, but work on the inner man. And the Bible says, the last verse you wrote, I think it says, which is valuable to God or something.
Precious in the sight of God.
So when you work on the inner man, you work on your character, you work on your spirit, you work on your relationship with God. The Bible says you are beautifying yourself inwardly, which is very precious to God, which also your husband will notice and see and begin to respect your God, because he notices the transformation inwardly that is taking place. Imagine you are married and your husband goes to work and you are praying and fasting. When he comes back, he say, you know, my husband, when I was praying, I feel something is happening at your workplace. Let's begin to pray. Let's pray and fast. And whatever it is that you felt or the Spirit told you and led you happens at His workplace. Don't you think He will respect your God? So, it's time. My message is to the men. I don't know why I'm talking to you women. But it's just advice by the way while we are going to the men. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am, continue.
Verse 5. Okay. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror.
Hey! Listen how the Bible is advising you to call your husband. Is it in your Bible or you didn't see it? Read it again, that verse. Nkari, it's not in the Bible.
As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord.
Calling him what?
Lord.
What is Lord? What is Lord? What is it, Kaspedi Mamrud? Murena. Hoshi. Thanking us when I'm Linda. Yeah? Kosi. Kastonga. Yeah? Hosi. Hosi. Okay. Some of you would rather die than to call that man Hosi. Have I said something wrong? Me, I'm just reading the Bible. Lord. Another word for Lord is Master. But also when you say it, don't be fake. Today you are saying Lord and Master. Tomorrow, uskobo, uskobo, ustayel. Then when he hears Master again, he will wish like he's going to be like he's hearing noise. So if you are going to call him Lord and Master, then the behavior must follow that you are he is your Lord and Master. Ladies, your amens are going down. Amen. Precious, I didn't see your amen. Hello? Read it again. I don't think... Borrow her another version. Who has another version? Just borrow her quickly. What verse is it? Six. Can you borrow someone sitting next? Just check if they've highlighted this verse. Especially if they're a lady. Please check for me. If they don't have a pen or a highlighter. Mambo, they'll give one. Amen. Amen. Are they highlighting or they are just watching us? It's a very important verse here.
It was thus that Sarah obeyed Abraham, following his guidance and acknowledging his headship over her by calling him Lord, Master, Leader, Aye. Authority.
Well, what version is this?
It's
amplified is very spiritual. Read it one more time. I like that one.
It was that Sarah obeyed Abraham.
Sarah what?
Obeyed Abraham.
Obeyed.
Following his guidance and acknowledging.
Following his guidance. Women, are you here or you've gone home?
And acknowledging his headship over
his headship over her. Yeah.
By calling him Lord,
Lord,
Master,
Master,
Leader,
Leader,
Authority,
Authority. Sandile, how long have you been married? almost a year. Have you heard these words before? Say them again, I want to hear.
Master.
Master.
Leader.
Leader.
Authority.
Authority.
Lord.
And Lord. And she's looking down as if she's... And she knows we are talking about her. You know, when you humble yourself like this, not just words. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Not just words. A behavior. A character. France, how long have you been married? 3 years. Have you heard these words? What? Which one did you hear?
My king.
My king. Hey. Put your hands together for Pumla. Pumla. I'm going to ask you another question. Do you feel like a king? Ah, put your hands times two. Very powerful wife. Hallelujah. Okay, let's continue. I'm wasting time.
Husband.
Ah, now we've come to the real people.
Likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered.
Amen. Put your hands together for the word of God. Very powerful. Beautiful advice that we have here. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says, likewise, ye husbands. Right? Even though you are not a husband, I'm still talking to you. Do you understand? The Bible says, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, for the rest of the time that we have together here today, I'm going to dissect 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. There's so much that Peter has stacked in that scripture. There's so much wisdom that we can get from there. And I'm going to say a lot of things and list a lot of things just to say something at the end. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, the first advice that Peter gives us, the husbands, the men, he says, dwell with your wives, or your partners, according to knowledge. According to knowledge. Yes, put your hands together for the Lord. Don't. When someone puts their hands together, don't leave them dry. Just join. Let's all clap for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, when I read scripture, I want to understand what everything means. Because if I don't understand, then I cannot live by it. I cannot apply it in my life. Because I don't just read scripture just so that I can quote scriptures. But I read the Bible so that I can live it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So he says we must live with our marriage partners according to wisdom. So I went, I asked, what does it mean according to knowledge? What does it mean? How do you live with someone according to knowledge? I searched, and I finally found the answer when I went to read the Greek version of the Bible. I checked every other version. Everything they were saying was not making sense to me until I went to the Greek. Then it finally made sense. When the Bible says that you must live with her according to knowledge, what it means, number one, is that you have to allow her. I'll explain. Number two, which is very key here. When the Bible says that you have to live with her according to knowledge. That word knowledge means you have to live with her in a way that you are aware of her. Someone say aware. Now this is very important. Many years ago, I was listening to a message by a man of God called Dr. Yongi Cho. And Dr. Yongi Cho, he said that he married his wife, and early in their marriage, he had a burning vision to become an evangelist. In his time, there was another evangelist called Oral Roberts. And Oral Roberts was a great man of God. One day, he was walking in the street, and something fell on someone and fell on the person's feet and broke the feet and made a huge scar on the person's feet. And Oral Roberts just went there and put his hand on the person's feet and prayed. And before everybody's eyes, the wound healed. In not that over weeks or days, or immediately as everyone was looking, the wound suddenly healed. And so Dr. Yongi Cho would follow Oral Roberts' ministry, and he really wanted to operate like him. And so early in his marriage, he would be home, he would go away, do evangelistic crusades for weeks on end, and come back home for a short time and go again. And come back home for a short time and go again. Over time, his wife changed and started becoming quiet. And he didn't even notice because he's so on fire for evangelism. Till one day, his wife will just start crying for nothing and just be sad all the time. And almost becoming depressed. And then one day, the man of God's mother-in-law came to visit them. And she noticed what was going on. And went to talk to the man of God. And said, "Sir, if you don't take care of your wife, she's going to leave you." Dr. Yongi Cho said, don't worry, mommy, I'll take care of it." When the mother-in-law left, the man was furious inside and went to his wife and said, "When we have problems, you don't go telling other people our problems. Don't act like a child going to tell your mother this, this, and that, and that." And he said, "I know what is your problem. You have a demon." This is not something that someone... He was telling the story himself. And he said, "Come, let me pray for you and cast out the demon." And he started praying, "Come out in the name of Jesus." And he said what happened is that the wife became even more depressed. To the point that he had to now fast and pray. Say, "Lord, what's wrong with this woman? Because she's disturbing my ministry of evangelism. I want to go out there and win the lost at any cost. Now she's always crying, and now she's disturbing the work of God." And the Lord said to him, "Sir, you have not married a thing. You have married a person. You need to be aware that you live with another human being who has needs herself." To cut the long story short, the Lord advised him to put some priority on his wife. And so he went back to his wife and he said, "My wife, from today, every Monday is me and you. Whatever you want us to do, we'll go for picnic, we'll go for window shopping." So they began. And the lady's character started coming back. Her smile started coming back. her laughter started coming back. Her joy started coming back. And when Dr. Engicho tells the story, you'll be laughing because you'll say, you know, we will go for window shopping for hours. Just looking at this looks nice. And say, I'll be so bored. But my wife is so happy. So I just go along. So the man was living with a woman, but was not aware of her. Was not conscious of her needs. Men, some of you, you've just married a stove. The job of that person you've married is cooking. You don't know who she is. You don't know what she likes. You don't know what she hates. She's just a stove. Where's my food? That's all you know. Where's my food? I want my food now. Hello, am I in church or I've gone home? So the Bible is advising us to live with her according to knowledge. Be aware of her, meaning be aware of her. Be aware of her feelings. Be aware of her desires. Be aware of her vision. Be aware of her plans, the dreams and the future that she wants to have. Be aware. It's not a thing that is living by you. It's a person. You've married a human being, another human being like yourself. Some men, they make the woman just a birthing factory. The only job of the woman is to give birth. Oh, you don't know these things. Some women are suffering in marriage. They're suffering in relationships. Because they are just a thing. That's all they are. A thing. Hallelujah. Can you tell the nearest brother next to you, say, brother, live with her according to knowledge. 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 Tell the brother, say, brother, she's also a human being. She's a human being. Say, brother, she's not a thing. She's a person. A person. Say, brother, she has dreams. She has visions. She has desires. Hello? Yeah. Please don't be angry with me. We are doing scriptures here, okay? Yeah. Scriptures. Should I move on? Yeah. So, just help me read. Go back to King James, verse 7. Start verse 7 again.
Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel.
Giving honor to the wife. Again, I had to research. Lord, how do I honor my wife? What are the practical things that I have to do to ensure that my wife is honored in your eyes? Do you want to know? The first thing that you have to do is you have to value her highly. Place high value on your wife. Meaning that when you look at her, you see a precious somebody. Only two men are saying amen. Me, I watch you when I pray, okay? When I'm preaching. Brother, say amen. Franz? Amen. Don't just be called a king, but also value her highly. She must be worth a high price to you. You know, I'm not a jealous type of person, but I love my wife. You get what I'm saying? One day, she was here at church, and I was busy working, preparing the message. It was a Saturday. I was preparing a message for Sunday. And she normally comes back home between 5:30 and 6. And that day, I forgot she had to do something. She told me later, and she came home later. So when I realized her time, so I tried to call her, and she wasn't picking up. And around 5 o'clock, next to where we stay, I had a car accident. And I started getting worried, you see, because I know she uses that road when she comes home. But I'm like, I know that if she had any issue, she would phone me. So 6 o'clock came. I started worrying, where is this lady? I called, she's not picking up. I send a text, no response. I called. I was 5 to stepping out to go see who was involved in this accident. Perhaps it's my wife. And as I was about to step out, she came in the house. I was so worried, so concerned, because she's precious to me. Not that, where are you? No. You are a precious treasure to me. I just want to be sure that you are okay. When I taught my wife how to drive, it took a lot from me. Because I was afraid that one day she'll drive and be in an accident. It was hard for me to allow her to drive. Because I don't want anything wrong to happen to her. But I taught her. And why, she's precious. Telling her she's precious. She's precious. Read for me. Proverbs, I believe it's chapter 18, verse 22. Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 22. Do you still have Sandile's phone? Okay. Read in King James, then I want you to read in other versions also. Yes, ma'am. Start with King James first, and then
Proverbs chapter 18 from verse 1. Mm-hmm. Through desire.
Verse 22.
Oh. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord.
Amen. Now look for those versions that I mentioned and read it from those versions.
I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Mm-hmm. The man who finds a wife finds a treasure.
A man who finds what?
A wife.
Finds what?
A treasure.
What is treasure? Gold. Valuable things, isn't it? So in other words, when the Bible says honor your wife, it means that you have to value her as treasure. If you had 1 million rand, how would you look after that 1 million rand? How will you protect that 1 million rand? If you had a shoe that cost, you know, there are some people who buy a shoe that is 3,000, 5,000. I don't know how they even walk. You see, that dust doesn't come on the shoe. Even if they are walking on dust. But because the shoe is so valuable, they find a way that the shoe doesn't get dust. You haven't seen people like that? There are people who know how to wear all white. I never wear all white. Before you get home, you see a stain. Ah, where did this stain come from? But there are people who know how to handle valuable things. And so as a man, you must treat your wife as treasure, as valuable, as precious. Hallelujah. Read the second part of that verse.
And receives favor from the Lord.
The Bible says that when you treat your wife as treasure, you will receive favor from the Lord. When you value your wife as something precious, valuable, of high value, then God will favor you. God will favor you. When you go for a job interview, the person will just like you for you. It's a favor. There may be people more qualified than you, but they just like you. So, just to explain what favor is. So when you treat your wife like treasure, the Bible says you release favor from God. So live with them according to knowledge and honor them. In other words, see them as something valuable, precious, costly. Hallelujah. Quickly read Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. Let's move fast. Proverbs 31, verse 10.
Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Who can find a vicious woman? For her price is far above rubies.
For her price is far above rubies. In other words, no money can equate a virtuous woman. That's how precious your wife must be to you. Or your future wife must be. When you treat that woman like treasure, you unlock favor to come to your life. Brothers, are you listening to me? Are you hearing me? Then the second way to honor is by respecting her. What do I mean by respecting her? It means you have to honor her rank or her position as a wife. The fact that she's your wife must have some heavy weight, some value to it. I listen to what I'm saying. There must be some dignity and some honor that she carries because she is your wife. Some women, their lives were going well until they got married. Then their lives just... because they are not respected as a wife. They are not honored. They are not valued. Because of time, let me quickly. So, how do you respect her position as your wife? Number one, you have to allow her to meaningfully participate in the building of your lives together. It's you, Mom Ruti, please come and stand. Will Abu allow, Ntombi, come quickly. You, your spouse, and your children. Some have one, some have two, some whatever number you have. This is a family. And the two of you are building this family and the future of this family and the glory of this family. Some men, they leave the wife behind and work alone. They don't allow the wife to meaningfully participate in the future of this family. Just sit at home. You're a businessman. Your wife knows nothing about your business. Zero. Some women are married to rich people. When the rich person dies, they become poor. And the reason they become poor is because they were never involved in anything. They don't know the business partners. They don't know any financial anything. They know zero. And so once you are gone, the other people swallow the business. And the wife is left with nothing. Because you didn't allow her to be a meaningful participator. You didn't work together to build whatever you are building. As you are educating yourself, you didn't allow her to be educated also. You just made her a cooking machine. You made her a duck that just gives birth. New release every year, new release. And then when you die, you leave her with all those children. And she knows nothing that you are doing. So you honor her by allowing her to participate. We are working this life together. We are building this life together. We are raising our children together. Someone say together. So whenever you're in a relationship, don't leave your wife behind. Climb together. Run together. Go forward together. Move up together. Fight together. Some men, when they are going through stress, they never tell their wives. Some men, when their money runs out, they never tell their wives. And so the woman is just there clueless. And say, oh, kopela chalete ya bupi. Ki bupi anke. Bupi. And then you are just becoming angry. Where's the one that I bought? I bought 12.5 last time. She doesn't know there's no money. She doesn't know. Because you are not talking to her. You are not building together. So she's surprised. What must I do? Uncle, I'm cooking. And we are eating. You're also eating. So when it finished, there's a new one that must come. Early in my marriage, my wife said something I never forgot. And I said, you know, I like this type of meat and whatever. And she said to me, just buy it and I'll cook it. I realized that I must buy it for me to enjoy it. Allow her to be a meaningful participator in everything you are doing as a family. Don't leave her behind. Even if maybe she's not actively involved in the business or whatever you are doing, but come and talk to her. Maybe at the least, maybe she'll pray for you. When you are trying to do this or do that, just let her know. And open everything up for her. That my beautiful wife, you know, talking about death is not a nice thing. But you talk to her that if I die, just know that this is here, this is here, this document is here. Take this there, take this there. Prepare for her. So that if something should happen to you, she doesn't become a lost thing in the world. I've seen something like that happen. That's why I always tell people, if you love the woman you say you love, marry her. I've seen someone who was in a relationship, never got married. One of my family members was in a relationship with a lady and they had a child. And then he died. Now, the person who died was dark-skinned like myself, and the woman was dark-skinned, but the child was yellow-bone. And so it caused a lot of problems that the child was a yellow-bone, because everyone is dark, but the child is a yellow-bone. And so in my family, there was a thing that the child is not his. But the child was his. I knew it was his. If you looked at his hands, the child's hands, it was copy of the guy's hands. And you look at the features. Sometimes it happens that a yellow bone comes out from dark people because of the genes in the family. But you see, people talk. Aunties, uncles, these ones. Eish. And so to cut the long story short, the guy died. It's my uncle. He passed away. And I saw family members from KZN. They came to Pretoria. He was staying here in Pretoria with the woman, but they were not married. And they took everything that belonged to him. Everything. And they left nothing to her and the child. Because they were not married. Everything, every cent, anything that belonged to him was taken, went back to KZN. This woman now had to start her life from zero. Zero. Absolute zero. That's why I say, involve her. Marry her. You say you love her, what are you waiting for? Marry her. So that should anything happen, at least she has that thing that I'm married to her. And she can fight for certain things. Some families, once the husband dies, they reject the woman. It's like she was never even married. Yeah, I'm Peter. So involve her, all right? Don't leave her behind. Put your hands together for Jesus. Am I talking to somebody? So, that's one of the ways you respect her position as a wife, by involving her. The second way that you honor her and her position as a wife is by trusting her. Someone say, trusting her. Read for me Proverbs 31, verse 11 and 12. But read it in the Amplified Bible.
Proverbs 31 from verse 11. Mm-hmm. The heart of your husband trusts in her confidently and relies on and believes in her securely.
The heart of a husband does what?
Trust in her confidently, mm-hmm, and relies on and believes in her securely. So that he has no lack of honest gain or need of dishonest.
Hallelujah. I'm also going to read it in the CEV. It says, her husband depends on her and she never lets him down. Many men don't trust their spouse, their girlfriend, their fiancés. They don't trust that. The only thing you trust her with is cooking. Can you see you've made your wife a stove? When you always suspect her, then you are devaluing her as a wife. Are you listening to me? Trust her. Believe in her. Rely on her on certain things. I told you of a woman, they put cameras at her house so that they can monitor her. When she goes, when she comes back. Why? She's not trusted. I was talking to somebody, like I told you the other week, She was talking, he was talking to someone, and the person was taking long to respond. And said, "Why aren't you responding? Are you with your boyfriend?" Ah. Is that trust? Trust her. God has brought her to you for a reason. She will not let you down. She will not cheat on you. Job said something. He said, "The thing that I feared has happened to me." So if you keep worrying that your wife is going to do something, eventually she will do it. So just trust her so that she won't do something like that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, brother, trust the woman. Yeah. When you trust her, you bring honor to her. Trust her with money. Trust her with the children. Trust her with her education. Trust her with her job. Some men are afraid that if my wife earns more money than me, Trust her. She's not gonna change. Ladies, are you gonna change? No, but you are so quiet. You are also now. Don't let me down when I'm talking so nicely for you. Are you gonna change?
No.
Won't change. One day I was talking to somebody and we were talking that, you know, your wife must work there. I said, "Ha! My wife mustn't work. She must stay home and cook." I said, "Hey! Wow." You see, the woman is not trusted. Some men believe that if she has money, she's going to cheat. If she becomes educated, she is going to cheat. She won't. But if you keep thinking she's going to cheat, then she will. So stop thinking that nonsense and just trust her. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Man, can I hear an amen? The third way that you can honor her position as a wife is by allowing her to grow. Someone say, allowing her to grow. Okay, I'm going to read, because you don't have the CEV there, right? You don't have. I want it read in CEV. I'm reading the same Proverbs 31, but I'm reading from verse 16 to 18. The Bible says, "She knows how to buy land and how to plant a vineyard. And she always works hard." Verse 18 says, "She knows when to buy or sell, and she stays busy until late at night." So that word "she knows" means that she has knowledge. She has educated herself. That she knows how to trade land. She knows taxes and all these things and everything surrounding the buying of land. Brothers, always encourage your spouse to build herself. Hello? Encourage her. Some women are relaxed, you know. They don't build themselves. But you, because you love her and she's your wife, encourage her. Education. How far did you get to school? Let's go higher. Encourage her. Have I said something wrong? Okay. Build her and allow her to grow. And sometimes when you do that, it comes at a price. When she goes to school, you have to take care of the children. You have to help her in cooking. You have to help her in cleaning. But you do it because you know that your wife is building herself up and you are encouraging her. And you don't complain. You might even have to pay for the schooling, which means you have to sacrifice certain things and bring your lifestyle lower so that she can build herself up. I listen to what I'm saying. How many times have I said something like this in our church? Do I not always say something like this? At some point, you must listen to my advice. Build your wife. Build her. Educate her. Help her to grow. One of the things I'm always doing for my wife, you know, my wife, she doesn't follow the news and everything. Sometimes I follow the news for her, so that she's always aware of what is happening. She's always conscious of what's going on. That even in her workplace, if someone says, you know, this and this is happening, she can flow. Even though she didn't read, but I read for her. Because I always wanted to be in par with everybody else. I don't want her to be at any disadvantage. Hallelujah. So allow her to grow. When you allow her to grow, you are honoring her. Some of you, if there's a function at work, you are afraid to take your wife. Because you know you haven't built her. When your boss says something, Ingazuza teen man. Because you don't take the time to build her and encourage her to rise. Why this one feels so heavy? Huh? I feel like I'm saying something wrong now. Hallelujah. You've got a car your wife can't drive. They're even planning to buy the second one and she can't drive. Hello? Build her. And allow space for mistake. When my wife started driving, one day she came back and there was a scar in the car. I didn't say, Anna! I said, it is well, it is well. Don't worry, these things happen. I said, that's how you learn. As long as nobody has died and nobody is suing us or all those types of things, it's well, it's just a car. We'll fix it. And for me, the scars in the car are stories of glory. Because most of the scars in our car is the work of God. So it's why I don't fix them so that Jesus can see I was working for you. It's a story between me and him. Hello? So if you don't allow your wife to grow, you are not honoring her. Okay? Push her, encourage her. Build her. Don't allow her to relax. If you love her, think about, if I die today, what will happen to this woman? What will happen to the children? If you die today, what will happen to her? What will happen to the children? The children that you love. She will struggle to take care of them when you are gone. So build her. Push her. Encourage her. Sometimes when you are doing this, she'll be angry at you. But you know what you are doing. You are doing it for her. for her future and for the children. So that should you go, they will be okay. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So please, encourage her to grow, okay? Number what are we on? Huh? 4, 5, somewhere there. 5. You honor her by listening to her advice. You honor her by listening to her and listening to her advice. Those of you who know me, one of the things that I like to say is, what do you think? What do you think? Because I want to hear what's in your mind. What's in your heart? There are some men who make heavy duty decisions without consulting their spouse. A big decision like that you have made, and your wife is not aware. You know, many years ago, my pastor said I must go start a Bible study group. Those days we called them home cells. And so I gathered some guys at the church who lived in the area where I was going to go. And I told them that we're going to start a home cell there. And I started giving instructions. Okay, you do this, you'll do this, you go get this, you go get this, this and that. And I thought I had everything covered. Then one of those young boys, he was still going at high school at the time, he said to me, "Where are people going to sit?" I didn't even think of that. Such an important part of the home cell. Where are people going to sit? From that day, I realized that I have to listen to everybody because someone has something important to say. That's why if you see in my meetings, everyone must say something. Because you may be thinking about something that I've not thought about that can help us. And there God has given you a life partner who loves you, who cares about you, who cares about your children. And you don't even consult her. You don't discuss anything with her. You don't want to hear what she has to say. You only listen to your friend. Ewara. And you talk with your friend and finish. And you make a decision. And your wife is not involved. Some people do that with their family members. They go and talk with their family members, discuss, make decisions, and finish. And the wife is not involved. One day I was speaking to a divorced lady. And one day I just became brave and I asked her, I said, "Ma'am, what happened? Why were you divorced? Why did you divorce?" And the lady said to me, "My husband, every decision that we make, he goes and consults home first. And at home, they will change our decisions. And he would go ahead with the decisions made at home." She finally couldn't handle it anymore. And they broke up and split. Once me and this woman have made a decision, no human being in this world can change it. Once I've got her on my side, I don't care what you say. Whoever you are. But you be there. Go discuss with your friends. Just let some time pass. You will realize something. Am I saying something? You honor her by praising her. Proverbs 31 verse 30. Quickly.
Proverbs 31 from verse 30.
Mm-hmm.
Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised.
She shall be praised. Something's missing there. Sorry, read verse 28 and 29.
Proverbs chapter 31 from verse 28.
Mm-hmm.
Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have...
Her husband does what?
Praises her.
Praises her. Speaks highly of her. Only good things come out of his mouth about his wife. I've married my wife now. We've been married for 7 years. My mother has never ever had a complaint about my wife. A sibling of mine has never ever had a complaint about my wife. A friend of mine has never ever had a complaint about my wife. If I have an issue with my wife, I talk to her. Everything that comes out of, tell your next neighbor, this is not a time to sleep, please. Please, I'm watching you carefully. Hello? How come you never praise your spouse? There's nothing good you can say about the woman you live with. Huh? Her cooking, her clothing, her raising of the children. Nothing. Hello? Ladies, wouldn't you like some praise? But I'm also now talking to you, you are quiet. I'm trying to help you, you are not answering me. Women, wouldn't you like some praise? Brothers, praise the woman. That's how you honor her as a wife. Stop complaining all the time. Even if the food is always burnt, you say, you know, when you cook it like this, my wife, I can taste their love. Hey! You're always complaining to your children about their mother. You know, your mother doesn't understand. Why can't you say some good things also? My little daughter knows that if her mother says no, she'll be wasting her time coming to me. But my first question is, what did your mother say? She said no. I said no. Even though I don't know why she said no or don't understand, she has said no. It's a no, sister. That's all that we know. Hallelujah. So every chance you get, say something good about her. In her absence, in her presence, never dishonor her by saying bad things about her. If there's an issue, talk to her face to face. I have to say these things because some people, when they go home, when they talk to their sisters, hey, when they talk to their brothers, hey, when they talk to their parents, Now, how do you think they are going to treat her when she now comes? And she and they have had all these complaints. As the poor woman is cooking, they are pointing at her and laughing. How is she going to now be confident? All right, you're too quiet. Let me continue with my preaching. Hallelujah. And finally, you honor her by allowing her to fear her God. You honor her by allowing her to fear her God. Read verse 30.
Proverbs chapter 31 from verse 30.
Mm-hmm.
Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised.
A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Many men don't allow their spouses to fear God. Fearing God means allowing her to respect God, allowing her to worship God, allowing her to serve her God. Allow her. If you are involved with the person who doesn't allow you to serve God, hey, now uketeganzima, you chose the wrong person. Because you see, the husband has a lot of power over a wife. In Genesis chapter 3, God said to Eve that I will put enmity between you, between your seed and the snake. And the Bible says, and your desire will be for the man, and he shall rule over you. So generally, men have a lot of power over their spouses. The Bible even says that, say that you want to fast, and your husband says, there's no fasting here. You will not fast. That's the type of power that he has. So if you want to honor your wife, allow her to serve God. Allow her to worship her God. Allow her to please her God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Stop complaining. You know, I was telling some people that years ago when Mamrut and I were staying in Silverton and later when we moved to Naumapias, we used to eat Sunday course on Saturday. And then on Sunday, all of us are tired because we spend the whole day in church. Then Sisa Patani Sanjeo corner. We'll just fill our stomachs and get ready for work. Just imagine my wife goes to work Monday to Friday. Working hard. Then Friday evening, she's got praise and worship practice. Saturday morning, she's here for prayer. In the afternoon, she comes here for ministries and visitations and all these things. Sunday morning, she's here. And before we come here, she cleans, gets ready to cook when she comes back. And then by the time we get home, church maybe finishes at 12:31. And we don't leave at 12:31. We normally leave here around 3, 4. And sometimes, even we go for visitations before we go home. When has she rested? Then I come and say, "Kalesame skatulula." And my mind is broken. Is this? I'm a fool. I'm not living with her according to knowledge. So at some point, my wife was doing 7 colors on Saturday. Because on Sunday we are dead. We are finished. I don't mind washing. I wash. The only thing that was difficult for me was cooking. But there was a time when she had to go stay in Joburg and I cook for me and my daughter. But you are a tyrant in the house. It's Gora. Eh? Siwara wara. Hey! Mike Tyson here. You don't think for her. And so your wife doesn't even have a chance to pray. Doesn't even have a chance to serve God. Because you are the most high, higher than God himself. You honor her by allowing her to do what? To fear her God, to serve her God, to worship her God, to respect her God. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. All right. Because of time, I'm going to end it here. Next week, I'm going to show you that what happens when you dishonor her. When you dishonor your spouse, you open a world of problems and troubles. Let's read the last scripture. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse 7.
First Peter chapter 3 from verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel,
mm-hmm.
and as being heirs together of the grace of life,
mm-hmm.
that your prayers be not hindered.
That your prayers be not hindered. In other words, if you don't live with her according to knowledge, if you don't honor her, what was the third part that it said there? And don't value her as elects, read that part from the weaker vessel.
Being heirs together.
And as being heirs together.
Of the grace of life.
Then the Bible says that your prayers will be hindered. What does that mean? It means that God will no longer help you. It means that God will no longer walk with you. It means that you will cry out to God and he will not answer you when you dishonor your spouse. Hallelujah. I was hoping I'll show you this today, but next week I'll show you some of the people who dishonored the women in their lives. And you'll see the horror that happened in their lives. So I took my time to show you how to honor her. How to live with her according to knowledge. So that your prayers will not be hindered. When you live a life where your prayers are hindered. When you say, Jesus, help me. And your prayer doesn't go there. Imagine Peter when he was sinking in the water. And said, Lord! And because he was dishonoring his wife, the Lord couldn't help her. Just imagine. He would have died that day. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus, somebody. Let's rise to our feet.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to www.healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-5912-858. May God be with you.